Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, Episode 6. Welcome. Thanks for your company. We've got a busy show lined up for you today, starting with the death threat text message that was sent across Australia. We'll also look at plans to phase out the 04 mobile prefix and also chat about the addition of movies to Apple's iTunes in the cloud service. In product news, we're also going to talk about Canon's first mirrorless compact system camera, the EOS M. In our review section, we'll take a look at the Libratone Live AirPlay speakers, and we'll also check out the Humax HDR7500T set-top box, plus the new range of Fuji Xerox laser printers. Our interviews with Dr. Rick Liu, the man behind the new patient website firstavailable.com.au, and we'll also answer all your questions in the Tech Guide help desk.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Now, there were a few panicked mobile users across Australia today. We're recording this on a Monday with a death threat text message was sent to a number of people across the country, threatening people with saying that they need to pay $5,000 or else they'd be killed. Simple as that. The text message read, someone paid me to kill you. Get spared. You've got 48 hours to pay $5,000. If you inform the police or anybody, death is promised. Not the best worded message, but it sure did frighten a lot of people who received it. And the email address that was given out was killerking247@yahoo.com. Now, the authorities are investigating that email address, but they're also warning people that this has just been a sick scam. It's not. There's no danger. There's been no real threat here behind this. Authorities are warning anyone that they shouldn't reply to the message or forward it. Just simply delete it. And for those who we are unaware whether anyone was frightened enough to actually pay the money, police are warning anyone who did actually forward that $5,000 to contact their bank, because this has obviously been a scam. That it's been dismissed by police as the scam, but that didn't stop though lots of users flooding their 000. They were calling 000 in making panic calls. Though people obviously were unaware that there were a number of other people receiving this message across Australia, so it was kind of like a spam message / scam message. That's similar to a lot of those emails that you receive promising riches and asking for you to do certain things and hoping for at least a small percentage of people to respond, and thereby these scammers and spammers making their money. But it's been uncovered as a big hoax. So anyone out there who's frightened about this, rest assured, it's not real. A lot of people received it. You weren't the only one. If you were, and there were some people joking actually on Twitter and Facebook, joking that for $5,000, is that all my life is worth? I think a lot of people were actually offended at the low price that was placed on their life. But the text message death threat is just that, a threat. It's a scam. Nothing to worry about. Now, every mobile number we know starts with the 04 prefix. Now, mobile phones have been around for quite a while now, and believe it or not, we are starting to run out of the 04 numbers. So much so is that the Australian Communications and Media Authority, that's ACMA for short, have already put plans into place to supplement the existing 04 digital mobile prefix. They've expected to put the 05 number prefix, or the allocations of that will begin as early as 2017. The demand for numbers has been huge, and Chris Chapman, the ACMA chairman, said that the demand has been dramatically increased, especially since the introduction of internet-capable smartphones and tablets. And ACMA estimating that an additional 100 million numbers will be needed to provide enough supply for the next 20 years. Hence the reason why 05 will be in our near future. It's still 5 years away. But as I said on Facebook earlier this week on my Tech Guide page, an 05 number doesn't quite have the same ring to it. Pardon the pun, but 04, still got a few years left, but hang on. Anyone who's going to take up a new phone, and listen, these are probably our kids or the younger people who are going to get their first smartphones in years to come, you're going to have to start their number with 05. There's a full report on Tech Guide if you want to read a little bit more about it.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, with iCloud, Apple's cloud service, it's been very popular already for music and for apps. But now it's been taken a step further. iTunes in the cloud has actually been extended for movies. Now, any movie that we buy on iTunes, we can now have the choice to store it up in the cloud. So there's several advantages to this. Not only does it make it easier to access those movies from any other computer or any other iOS device like your iPad, an iPhone, an iPod, but it also allows you to save space on your hard drive. Rather than you having to take up that space physically downloading and storing that movie on that particular device, it allows you to stream it from the cloud. So you can save a bit of space. Also, convenience. You don't need to physically get that file. You can stream it from any connected device to your computer from the cloud, view it at your leisure. So just an extension. I think it went live in Australia late last week, along with the UK, Canada, and New Zealand. It was already up and running in the US, but Australia has finally joined the iTunes in the cloud for movies. A handy service. iTunes is a very popular place for people to not only rent movies, but this service is for people who buy their movies. So this is a copy of their movies that are stored in iCloud, and even if you delete it off your device accidentally, even off your computer, you can re-download a copy if you did want a copy, or as we said earlier, you can stream that as well. So yeah, have a read on techguide.com.au all about iTunes in the cloud. Canon has introduced the latest addition to its popular lineup of cameras, and that's the EOS M. It's their first compact mirrorless system camera that is offering DSLR quality but in a tiny body. There's other companies that have already introduced this type of product. We've seen products from Lumix, from Panasonic, from Olympus as well. But Canon, whose EOS line is very popular in the SLR market, the leading brand in SLRs in Australia. But this new EOS M is kind of it bridges that middle ground between a compact camera, which Canon is also very popular in the compact market, but also in between that, the compact and SLR market, which is where this EOS M is going to sit. Now, it has the interchangeable lens system. There's also a lens mount adapter, so you can use your more than 60 EF and EFS lenses that are already out there for the current EOS users. But there'll also be two new dedicated EFM lenses, 18 to 55 mil standard zoom, and an ultra compact 22 mil as well. So are those exciting times for photo enthusiasts. Now, the compact market, a bit of pressure on the compact market already because we're using our smartphones to take those photos rather than carrying our separate compact camera. So the movement to this higher quality camera in this compact system and also the digital SLR is quite obvious us using our smartphones to take our on-the-go pictures. So offering that kind of quality, especially now with this new type of camera, is a great move by Canon. It's not going to be released until later this year, till around October, and pricing will also be announced closer to the time. And we'll get our hands on this camera once it's released and do a full review. So exciting news for photo enthusiasts. There's going to be the Canon EOS M mirrorless compact camera, and there'll be a full report about that news at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Wireless speakers seem to be the popular product nowadays, especially with AirPlay technology. Our music often resides on our computers, on our smartphones, on our tablets, and what easier way to listen to our music than to stream them wirelessly to these speakers. The latest that we've reviewed at techguide.com.au is from a company called Libratone, and in particular, the Libratone Live speaker. Now, as I mentioned, they've got built-in Apple's AirPlay technology, which means you can stream music from a PC, a Mac, or a compatible iOS device, which is the iPad, the iPod, and the iPhone. So if you're listening, you've got your tunes on your iPad or your other iOS device, you can simply tap on the AirPlay icon, and because the Libratone Live is actually part of your home network, you'll see Libratone Live as a selection, a speaker that you can select to stream the music wirelessly to the system. Now, what we liked about the Libratone Live, there's a full review at techguide.com.au, as I mentioned, is that it doesn't look like a speaker. It's a triangular shape. It's got a cloth covering that are available in five different colors. So it doesn't look like a speaker, but it also blends nicely into your decor, so that there's not everyone's really after a hard looking, hard lined, grill covered speaker to sit in their home. They'd rather something a little bit more subtle. And that's the kind of design the Libratone Live provides. But how do they sound? I have to say, such a small product, it's only 49 centimetres tall, about 20 centimetres wide, so I can sit in the background. But it did provide quite a large soundscape, filled the room. It's got five different speakers. So there's a subwoofer, two tweeters, two mid-range speakers, combined total of 150 watts of power. So you're getting a nice coverage across all levels of your music, the mid-range, the high level, a lot of detail. The bass was surprisingly good as well. Big fan of good bass in speakers, and Libratone provides that. It's not cheap. This is $899. There are a lot of other AirPlay speakers on the market that are a little bit cheaper than this product, but what the Libratone Live does offer is patented technology. They've got some technology called Full Room, which allows the device to adapt to the room that it's playing in. So it does sound a little bit richer depending on the type of room it can adapt to. It's also got, because it's the speakers come out of three different sides of the product, it provides a nice 360-degree sound as well, which is something that those other competitor speakers don't provide, that kind of surrounding, that's music that surrounds you as well and really fills the room. We played this at top volume as well. There wasn't much distortion as well. So if you want something to power your next party, the Libratone Live, full review at techguide.com.au. Now, recording your favorite TV programs requires a nice TV recorder, a PVR. And this week we had a look at the Humax HDR7500T, a digital TV recorder that's got twin tuners. So this means that you can record two programs simultaneously and watch a third recorded program. If you wanted to watch live TV, you can only record one other program because there are only two tuners after all. But this is a really solid all-round performer, this device. It was relatively easy to set up. It did an easy channel search. In terms of connectivity, it's got two USB ports. It's got an Ethernet port, so you can make it part of your network. HDMI port to connect directly to your HDTV. It's also got some RCA connections if you're still hanging on to your red, white, and yellow cables. And what we liked about it was very easy to use. The EPG was quite good. You get a free 3-month subscription to Ice TV. TV, which is the premium EPG, which allows things like series recordings, setting favorites, and remote recording if you happen to have the app on board as well. It's priced at $449. Now that's for the 500 gigabyte model, $549 for the 1 terabyte model. And it's got also some connectivity options too. So, as we said, it's got an Ethernet connection, so it's part of your network. So that allows you to go out and check and even play a lot of the other content, some music, photos, and videos that are contained on other devices on your network. There's also a little smart dashboard that lets you connect to things like YouTube, connect to Picasa, Flickr, those sort of services as well. It's also very easy to access the software update in that particular menu, because being a connected device, and when we first got the Humax out of the box and set it up, there was a software update ready to go, which we installed quite easily. The remote control I quite liked as well. One criticism I had of the remote was the function that you use probably the most when you're obviously playing back your recordings are the play, pause, stop, and navigation buttons, which were quite small on the remote control. I thought, being a player and a recorder, they would have given a little bit more prominence to the play and navigation keys, because you'd be using them so often. They were quite small, the keys, a little bit hard to access. Took a little bit of getting used to anyway. But the Humax HDR 7500T, if you're looking for a simple, easy-to-use digital TV recorder, that's well worth considering. And there's a full review at techguide.com.au. Now, in the middle of last week, we went down to Melbourne for a Fuji Xerox event. They were launching their latest line of laser printers. Now, the attention is often on inkjet printers. They're the most common printers that we see at stores like JB and Harvey Norman, and laser printers really have a sort of a product for small businesses, small office, home office, small to medium businesses, to be honest. But mainly, this line covers mono printing, which still surprisingly makes up 75% of the printer market. Now, these new DocuPrint products from Fuji Xerox are quite low priced. They start at only $249. So they're not expensive, but they do mono printing really well and really economically. I think that's the key here. To understand the price per page that a toner can give you compared to an inkjet cartridge can give you, which most people using inkjet printers, and how many times have we heard people complaining about how much inkjet printers cartridges cost? Well, the Fuji Xerox line, the DocuPrint, offers on average, it costs about 2 cents per page when you consider the toner can print up to 2,000, 10,000 pages, depending on the size of the toner cartridge you buy. That's compared to up to 50% per page when you're using an inkjet printer. And as I mentioned, inkjet cartridges aren't cheap. There's people who buy new printers so they don't have to buy the refills. It's often cheaper to buy a brand new printer than to actually buy refills for that printer. Hence, they throw it out, buy a new one. Well, the laser printers, the Fuji Xerox printers, offer a very economical solution, especially for small businesses who want to run their business and save a bit of money in the long term. So cost of ownership is quite low. So they're worth checking out, Fuji Xerox. If you do have a small business or a small office, home office, there are single function mono laser printers in the Fuji Xerox line, as well as multi-function printers that allow things for copying, scanning, and faxing. Believe it or not, people still fax. So Fuji Xerox still wanted to give those people the choice. So there's a full report at techguide.com.au if you want to read any more.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Our interview this week is with Dr. Rick Liu, who was the founder of a website called firstavailable.com.au. Now, what this website is, it's a patient website to allow them to make it easier to find appointments with the doctors in their area. Now, Rick Liu, you'll hear in our interview in a moment, He set up this as a way to solve a problem. There was no way for doctors to fill their cancelled appointments, the empty spaces they had on the book. No one knew that these empty spaces existed unless they rang that particular surgery, or in the case of other people who were needed emergency treatment, like dentists and other practitioners. It was very hard for patients to find out where these available slots in the different doctors' patient books, their appointment books, were available. So Dr. Rick Liu took it upon himself to create firstavailable.com to give easier access to these healthcare services. He also set it up to reduce administrative overheads for practitioners, and as we mentioned, easier to fill those last-minute cancellations, and also to avoid those no-shows. Doctors often frustrated the fact that patients make appointments and then they cancel at the last minute and there's no way they can fill these cancelled appointments. But we decided we spoke to Rick Liu earlier today.
Dr. Liu, thanks for joining us. Tell us, how did First Available come about?
Thanks, Stephen. First Available was an idea that I got from running my practice. I experienced two frustrations. One was my patients couldn't find me when they needed me. And my other frustration was, as a business owner, I couldn't fill those available appointments when they came up at last notice.
So this site, firstavailable.com.au, it addresses a problem. So as all successful startups and internet and websites, they address a problem, and you found that there were some problems in the way we do things medically. So how is the site now addressing that?
The medical industry and healthcare in general has always had several problems, and the government's always been trying to tackle this. One of the issues that we have is the supply and demand. As our aging population increases, demand increases, but supply does not. One of our problems in the healthcare industry is that we do have hidden supplies caused by cancellations, caused by new practices opening. But how do we connect the patients? So accessing those actual appointments is difficult. First Available helps to solve that by connecting patients with practitioners to access available appointments where they are.
So being a website, obviously it gives people easy access, so they can basically set up their own appointments, and if they need last-minute care, say someone rushing, I think you used to be a dentist, so I'm sure you've had calls, people, look, I've got a bad tooth, I've got to see you now. So these sort of things, it makes it a lot easier. The website makes it a lot easier to bring patients and doctors together.
That's correct. So like every other industry where online websites and aggregators have made it easy for consumers to access services and products, First Available does the same thing for healthcare. What we do is allow a user for free to go on the site and search for available appointments. They can then find the appointment they want, register with us, book online, and that appointment's made. The practitioners get an ability to publish their available appointments immediately, allowing the wider public to know when they're available without having to go through the standard media of print and advertising and radio and so forth.
So you had a successful dental practice, I understand, and you decided then to dedicate all your time to the site. Tell us, when did the site start and how is it going?
So I had a successful practice on the Gold Coast for close to 10 years. I came up with the idea of First Available in 2007. We launched our site just before Easter. We have been received very, very well by the healthcare practitioners. We have over 1,100 healthcare practitioners that have signed up to our service and growing quickly. Whilst it's early days, the site is obviously drawing a lot of attraction. And whenever we suggest what First Available does to a new consumer, they always have a story about, you know, their healthcare woes and their access problems.
Now, in terms of the success of the site, are there doctors that you have aligned to the site? How does the site actually make money?
So First Available is a subscription fee service to the healthcare practitioner. They pay us to be able to access an appointment book, which they can then use to publish their available appointments. It's unlimited. One of the things we try to avoid is to have a fee-for-appointment type model, because we don't want to commoditize the cost of healthcare. Our practitioners have come on board knowing that online is the future. Quite commonly, actually, they always say, isn't everything going online?
And it's all kinds of medical practitioners, dentists, all kinds of doctors, is that right?
Yes, yeah, so the value of First Available service is really being what we call an aggregator and being cross-vertical. It's no use building a site purely for dentists and another site purely for physiotherapists and another site for chiropractors. because people don't remember that. What we want to do is, to some degree, build a supermarket of healthcare practitioners where in one site you can find all your healthcare needs.
And how is the site going? So it, from the beginning, has it seen sustained growth month on month? Tell us about its success.
So the site has seen sustained growth. You know, we were at about 400 subscribers in February, and now it's the end of July, and we're about 1,100 practitioners. Whilst the site has really yet to go live to the consumers, we know that our practitioners are bought into the idea that this is how consumers access all services in healthcare. Right now, we're at the phase where we're asking the public to go on the site and have a look, because one of the things they can do is to find their doctor and recommend their doctor joins the site.
Dr. Liu, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
In this week's Help Desk, we have a look at a couple of questions, very popular questions that we get through at Tech Guide. And if you do have a question, feel free to email us at info@techguide.com.au or come through to the forum. Click on the menu on the right-hand side is a forum selection, and that'll bring you to our forum where a lot of our loyal readers often jump in and answer your questions. But one of the questions that we get quite a bit is people who want to watch TV on their computers, that they want to utilize these large screens, monitors, all-in-one PCs or even laptops to be able to use them to watch TV and often record TV. Now, there's a few solutions on the market where TV tuners, companies like Elgato, make these USB-sized TV tuners. A lot of laptops often have built-in TV tuners, a lot of PC laptops, and I know Toshiba's range often have TV tuners built in. But there's a lot of desktop computers too with larger monitors that are conducive to being able to put up connect a TV tuner to utilize that large screen and enjoy your favorite TV shows. Now, being able to connect this, you'll obviously need an aerial connection. If you do have very good digital reception, there are aerials that you can use to receive the signal, but I think the best bet is to find an aerial, a wall socket, so you can connect the TV tuner to the TV wall socket and then by USB to your computer, so you'll be able to watch and even record TV shows. In Elgato's case, I actually have an Elgato connected to my iMac, my 27-inch iMac. And those who use the Elgato products can then download the Elgato app and also wirelessly connect to that tuner through their computer so they can watch it wirelessly on their tablets or on their smartphones as well. Elgato also have a very interesting product called NetStream, which connects to your TV connection, so your aerial, but it also connects into your wireless router. And what it does, it takes that TV signal and distributes it across the breadth of your wireless network. So anywhere on your home network, you can fire up the ITV app, for Elgato's own app, and wirelessly on the network watch TV on an iPad, on a smartphone, on another computer. So it allows you, rather than having to spend money on another TV, this product, and they start from as little as $99 and upwards, you can, rather than having to spring for a separate television, you can use a product like the Elgato, the NetStream, several other TV tuners on the market. So that's one answer to a burning question.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, e-readers are a very, very popular product, and one question we often get asked about the Kindle. Now, there are more than one Kindle, and hence the question, which Kindle do I buy? Now, Kindles has been available to Australians for a couple of years now, not only through the Amazon website, where you can ship them directly here to Australia. I think the only Kindle not available to Australian customers is the colour tablet, the Kindle Fire, but all the other e-ink black and white Kindles are all available for us to buy on Amazon, but also they're available in Australia directly through Big W and also through Dick Smith stores. And the question, as I mentioned, is which Kindle do I buy? Now, there's a few to choose from. The one that we first saw here in Australia was the Kindle, which the one we call the Kindle with keyboard, because believe it or not, it has a keyboard. And it is available in Wi-Fi and 3G. People question, look, do I need Wi-Fi only? Should I buy the 3G model? The advantage of having the 3G model is that not only are you able to read your Kindle anywhere, but the Kindle itself, because of its 3G connection, also allows you to browse in the Kindle store. So not only is it your book, the Kindle is also the store. So you may be out away from a wireless network, and a friend may recommend, oh, look, you got to read 50 Shades of Grey. A lot of women are reading that book right now. And it'll allow you, if you've got a 3G connection on the spot, you can not only browse the store, but also download that book in less than a minute. So if you're that kind of person who needs that 3G connectivity, you want access to your books anywhere, be able to buy books anywhere, 3G is the option. If you're happy just to sit at home within your network, in a wireless network, anywhere, there's a lot of wireless networks around, then I'd recommend for the cheaper model, the Wi-Fi model as well. Now, moving up from the Kindle with keyboard, there's also what I refer to as the Kindle fourth generation, which does away with the keyboard. It still has the navigation key and the home key at the bottom of the device, but the on-screen keyboard, you have to use the navigation button and then click the select key when you want to select the different keys on the keyboard. It's a little bit laborious, but you think about how often you're going to be typing on this device, unless you're searching for authors and you're doing a lot of that, then it is a little bit laborious, but it does make the device a little bit smaller, a little bit sleeker. If you're not going to do a lot of typing, that's probably the product for you. If you're going to do a lot of searches, a lot of looking for different authors and using the store a lot, then maybe the keyboard option is the one for you. But at the top of the line is the Kindle Touch, and it as well is available in the Wi-Fi and 3G models. But the beauty of the Kindle Touch, as its name suggests, it has a touch screen. So it allows you to tap the keyboard directly on the screen. So the virtual keyboard, similar to the iPad screen, the iPhone screen, maybe not quite as responsive, but it does the trick on the screen. It allows you then to use the touch screen, the keyboard on the screen to search for your authors, book titles, etc. So the Kindle Touch, top of the line model, again available in Wi-Fi only or Wi-Fi plus 3G. So for all those readers out there, I know anyone who's looking for a dedicated device for reading, if reading is the main thing they're going to do with their device, I highly recommend the Kindle because it's got a very low reflective e-ink screen, which allows you to read it even in bright sunlight, something that's very difficult to do on a backlit device like the iPad and other Android tablets. You get a lot of reflection. So if reading is mainly what you're doing, then I'd highly recommend the Kindle, and we've gone through all the different Kindle models to help you find the right one. Well, believe it or not, that's our show for another week. Be sure to join us again next week. And as I mentioned, we'd love to hear from you too, either on email, info@techguide.com.au, or through the Tech Guide Forum, which is where we draw all our help desk questions and help you get to the bottom to find the answer to your questions. You can also listen to me on 2GB on Mondays and Wednesdays with Chris Smith in the afternoon show from about 2:15, as well as on other regional stations. I've listed all the tech segments I do on the Tech Guide website down the right hand side. And just on Tech Guide, we're also running an exciting new giveaway, the Toshiba Cosmio F750. It's Toshiba's top of the line laptop. It's got a 15.6 inch screen, Blu-ray drive, as well as a built-in TV tuner. So check out our link, top right-hand corner of Tech Guide, if you want to be in the running to win that spectacular prize. It runs till the end of next week. But until then, we hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again next week.